Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell Reed, my co-host Chris Cameron, and our guest this week, crime novelist Vanessa Westermann, who's joining us from Germany via Zoom. How exciting is that? Each week, we visit with an author, editor, or sometimes a publisher who lives in or has connections to our area. We ask them to introduce us to their work and hope for a glimpse into their lives. We find out what prompts them to write and invite them to read to us from their books. Welcome, Vanessa.
Thanks so much for inviting me back.
Vanessa Westermann's debut mystery, An Excuse for Murder, was published in 2019 by the Wild Rose Press. An avid reader of mysteries, Vanessa is a former Arthur Ellis Awards judge and has given a talk on the evolution of women's crime writing at the Toronto chapter of Sisters in Crime. She holds an MA in English Literature, as well as a Bachelor of Education, and has taught creative writing. Her blog, Vanessa's Picks, features literary reviews and author interviews. Vanessa's short story, Medicine, is appearing in Carrick Publishing's latest crime anthology, A Grave Diagnosis. So you're talking to us from Germany, Vanessa. Is this a consequence of the pandemic lockdown?
Yes, actually, I had a return flight to Canada booked for mid-June, but I had to postpone it due to the travel bans. But the wonderful thing about being a writer is that you really only need a laptop or a pen and a paper to continue writing. So I've been able to continue working on everything as normal.
What are you working on now? Have you begun a new novel?
Yes, actually, while I was over here, I completed the short story that I submitted to Carrick Publishing and was accepted, which was wonderful. And I recently finished writing my next mystery, which has the potential to be the start of a new series. In the book, an artist takes on the role of amateur sleuth when murder threatens to destroy the tranquility of cottage country. So my debut mystery, which you'd mentioned, An Excuse for Murder, was set in England. So it's quite fun change to write a story that takes place in Canada, and especially to, in a way, return home during this time while I'm in Germany.
So obviously then the pandemic hasn't affected your creativity in a negative way. What about a positive way?
Well, to start with, it was quite positive. This has been going on for so long now. When I write, I work with an outline. So I already had the mystery that I was working on in progress. So finishing up the first draft of that novel went quite well. I had all this extra time to spend indoors, as we all did, when I could finish the draft, and that was smooth sailing. However, when I came to starting to plot my next book, which is the sequel to An Excuse for Murder, this was about a month and a half or so into the pandemic, and I noticed that the ideas just were not flowing the way that they normally do. And I think it's amazing how much inspiration we draw from the world around us when we write, from conversations or new settings to new experiences. Normally, I have so many ideas, but after weeks of sheltering in place, it was noticeable that my inner well was not as fully stocked as it usually is. And I'm sure not just writers, but many artists have noticed this.
This sequel to An Excuse for Murder, is it also set in England?
Yes, it is. So I've gone from writing about Canada's cottage country straight back to just outside of London.
How do you refresh your memory of the setting then?
Oh, I've actually had a very lengthy process with that. I've been rereading An Excuse for Murder from start to finish and making, I wish I had worked as thoroughly with an outline with An Excuse for Murder as I did with my last mystery that I've just finished, because it would be a time savior now. I've had to go through and basically recreate an outline that I didn't have. Make sure that I don't miss anything when I go back to the setting and pick up on some seeds I've planted that I've noticed that I can start to draw upon, little intriguing things such as, there's a locked door there and someone could get in through that side and I have to remember to use that again.
Tell us about how you've used your blog to help provide a platform for writers who had to cancel live events during COVID-19.
Well, I knew quite a few authors whose debut novels were being released in March and had to cancel live events due to the pandemic. Although there's so many opportunities online for book promotion, some of the best ways I've found to introduce a book to new readers is still through bookstores and libraries. So I really wanted to do my part in some way and try to help some of these authors. So in March, I worked with publicists for Kensington Books, Crooked Lane Books, and Minotaur Books to provide a platform on my blog for crime writers who had to cancel events. And to spread the word about their new releases, the authors took part in interviews or wrote guest blog posts. And since the beginning of March, things have changed a little bit now, so virtual readings have taken off, which means that people from all over the world can attend an author event, and that's a pretty interesting development.
You are a regular reviewer of crime fiction, so where do you publish those reviews?
I publish these reviews and the interviews I just mentioned on my blog, which is titled Vanessa's Picks, as well as on my Goodreads profile. And for the latest updates, listeners could follow me on Facebook or on Twitter at Vanessa's Picks, and I share all of those posts and reviews there as well.
Okay, now we can ask you to read. So perhaps an excerpt from one of your Mesdames of Mayhem anthologies, perhaps. And part of a review of this anthology to go with it?
Yes, this was quite interesting because I actually first came across Carrick Publishing's anthologies as a reader and a reviewer. So I especially enjoyed the collections of short stories that they published, written by a group of award-winning Canadian crime writers who call themselves the Mesdames of Mayhem. And I'm thrilled to now be a part of one of Carrick Publishing's crime anthologies as a writer myself. So one of the anthologies that I really enjoyed is actually In the Key of 13. And what first intrigued me about the Mesdames of Mayhem was actually that they were featured in a CBC documentary where they described the appeal of crime fiction. And since this is similar to my own interest as a writer and a reader of mysteries, that really had me hooked. They say that when a reader opens a crime novel, they know in the end, the good guys are going to win, and the bad guys are going to get punished, and order will be restored. So that's why I picked up this anthology in the first place. I'll start with my review of In the Key of 13, which was published on my blog. The Mesdames of Mayhem are in perfect harmony in The Key of 13, an anthology of music and murder. The focal point of every story in this anthology is music. The theme and tone of the stories riff on the style of various musical genres. The story, titled Requiem, is about the comfort tradition provides, even in the face of a trauma that is underscored by a Mozart concerto. The story, titled Moonlight Sonata, features a moonlit showdown on a balcony, while other stories replicate the haunting madness of a brainworm or show what happens the day the music dies and you have to keep stumm. The stories build to a crescendo, and I found myself turning the pages, eager to find out how music would be entwined with the next crime.
Are you going to read an excerpt from the anthology now?
Yes, I've chosen one short story that was especially intriguing to give listeners a taste of the types of anthologies Carrick Publishing specializes in. So the excerpt that I chose is from Brainworm by M.H. Calway from In the Key of 13. Fiona huddled over her rapidly cooling coffee. Maman's tune wouldn't stop. Even shock and awe couldn't blast it from her mind. Her heart still hammered like a drum. The accident kept playing over and over in her mind. Halfway out of Toronto, to survive the blizzard, she's fled Highway 403 for the relative safety of the service road. Driving blind, she'd sought shelter behind a transport truck, but it crawled along at 20 clicks below the speed limit. Cars stormed past her in the passing lane. She was losing time. She had to make sure Maman was all right. For God's sake, find a hole in the traffic. Move! That's what her brother Bertie shouted at her the few times he deigned to be a passenger in her Honda. But it had taken miles, miles and miles and miles to work up her nerve. Then right by the Royal Botanical Gardens, the transport's brake lights flashed on, forcing her into the oncoming lane. Out of nowhere, a white ghost slammed into her side. That SUV, I could be dead right now. Terrible, said the lady behind the counter, whose name tag read Linda. But they didn't hit you or nothing, right? No, no, of course not. In truth, Fiona remembered only fragments. A flicker in her peripheral vision, blaring horns, the flash image of the white US SUV fishtailing behind her, her hands shaking on the steering wheel. They were shaking even now. She should have cleared the salt and dirt off her windows. She knew she should have. Breathless, she'd pulled into the first donut shop she saw. Climbing out into the teeth of the howling wind, she hadn't dared to check for damage. Did the SUV driver get her license plate? She gripped her coffee mug. Outside the shuddering plate glass window of the Tim Hortons, gusts of snow swirled across the deserted parking lot. White is such a stupid color for a car, Fiona said. I mean, Canada isn't Florida. Linda tugged on her pink cardigan. You know the first rule of winter driving, don't you? If you don't need to go out, don't. I don't have a choice. Cherie, my stepmother, she's elderly. Fiona fumbled in her purse for her cell phone and tried Cherie again. Still, a busy signal. She slammed her phone down on the counter. Problems? Maman leaves her phone off the hook, or she just lets it ring and ring, then claims she can't hear it. Unless Dora Mason phones. Cherie always answers her calls. So M.H. Calway weaves the haunting tune throughout her story and ends it with a very clever twist that you won't see coming.
Thank you, Vanessa. And now we'll take a short break.